الحمد لله الذي أظهر دينه المبين ومنعه بسياج متين فهاته من تحريف الغالين وانتحال المفسلين وتأذيل الجاحدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له سخر لدينه رجالا قام بهم وبه قاموا واعتز بدعوتهم وبه اعتزوا وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده وتركنا على المحجة البيداء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الأئمة الأعيان ذوي الديانة والمتانة والإيقان والإتقان وعلى أتابعين لهم بإحسان وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد عبادة سيد الإسلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We at Quran and Sunnah Society of New York Albasira.org welcome you all to our live weekly lectures of scholars and mashayikh of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and thank you for coming today to gain knowledge and further your Islamic education so that we all can worship our Lord upon Al-Basira. Dear brothers and sisters, as you all know, Allah created us for only one purpose, and that is, as He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinnkind and mankind except to worship me alone. So it is expected that all Muslims are well aware of their purpose in this life. But it is very unfortunate that many of our dear Muslim brothers and sisters don't realize the obligation of worshipping Allah upon knowledge and from authentic sources. And it is even more sad to see that those who realize the importance of worshipping Allah upon al-basira, upon sheer knowledge, often get very confused as to who are scholars, who are du'at, scholars to paradise, and who should the knowledge be taken from. But we know such individuals are very sincere in seeking knowledge, inshallah. They wish to be guided. So we are realizing our responsibility towards such individuals and to light the path to Jannah. We are absolutely committed to bring you nothing else but inheritors of prophets. So don't settle for less. Dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, previously we have done many lectures about Da'wah and Du'at, which include who are the scholars, and also lecture obligation of cooperation among Du'at, and also lecture entitled Gentleness and Da'wah and Warning Against Extremism, and also lecture entitled Advice to the Du'at. And today we are pleased to present you another very important lecture, which will be delivered by our noble Sheikh, Fadilat al-Sheikh, Dr. Ahmad al-Muni'i, Hafidahullah ta'ala wa ra'an. You all know him very well, inshallah, because he has done key lectures for us before, mashallah, and participated in our seminars. فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يبارك في علمه وذريته وأن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته. We thank him for making himself available for us and ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to reward him the best reward. Dear brothers and sisters, I do not wish to prolong this intro any further. Now we will proceed with our noble Sheikh. فالآن مع فضيلة الشيخ الدكتور أحمد المناعي حفظه الله تعالى براءه فليتفضل مشكورا معجورا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الذي بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين سراجا منيرا وهاديا إلى الحق محذرا من الضلالة والشرور والآثام والبدع والأهواء. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وهل لي وأرحب بجميع الإخوة والأخوات من المسلمين والمسلمات في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية وفي غيرها من بلاد العالم. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يمسكنا بالقرآن والسنة وأن يثبتنا على ذلك وأن يجمعنا جميعا في جنات الفردوس الأعلى. وهذا اللقاء المبارك الذي نسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبله وأن يسددنا فيه، نتأمل فيه حديثا عظيما من أحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، بين فيه عليه الصلاة والسلام أمورا كثيرة. من عرف هذا الحديث ودرسه وتأمله أحاط بأصول عظيمة في السياسة الشرعية، وعرف الموقف الشرعي من الفرق والأحزاب، وعرف علامات وصفات علماء السوء والموقف منهم، وعرف أهمية الجماعة وخطورة مفارقتها وأن ذلك يؤدي إلى الضلالة، وعرف أيضا أن الناس في الفتن ينقسمون إلى قسمين، إلى مهتد وضل، وعرف أيضا أنه لا سبيل للنجاة إلا بتوفيق الله سبحانه وتعالى بالاعتماد على الكتاب والسنة وسؤال الراسخين في العلم. ومن هذا الحديث العظيم الذي سنتحدث عنه، يعرف المسلم الأحوال التي أخبر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بعده، ما هي الأحوال التي سيمر بها المسلمون بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. ويعرف المسلم من هذا الحديث كيف يكون أمره إذا لم تكن جماعة ولا إمام. ويعرف المسلم أيضا كيف يتحصن من الفتن وما هو الموقف فيها. هذا الحديث العظيم أخذه البخاري في صحيحه، وأخذه مسلم في صحيحه، فهو من الأحاديث التي اتفق على إخراجها الإمامان العظيمان في صحيحيهما الجليلين، صحيح البخاري وصحيح مسلم، الذي اتفقت الأمة على صحتهما وقبولهما. والحديث أيضا أخذه أبو داود في السنن، وأخذه النسائي في السنن الكبرى، وأخذه الإمام أحمد في المسند، وأخذه أبو داود الطيالسي في مسنده، كما أخذه أيضا الحاكم في المستدرك، والبيهقي في السنن الكبرى، وأخذه غيرهم. هذا الحديث العظيم رواه حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. وحذيفة هو من الصحابة الذين حفظوا سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، واختصهم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بسره. نعم.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، هذا الشيخ حفظ الله تعالى. He started off by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves to be praised. Upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as mercy to all mankind, as a light for all of mankind. He said that I would like to start off by giving the salams to the brothers and sisters who are participating in this lecture today. And I would like to welcome you all to this particular gathering. Those of you who are in America and other places who are partaking or participating in this particular lecture. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us, to give us the tawfiq, to give us success, to follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and to make us firm upon that. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this small talk from us. And today we're going to speak about a tremendous hadith, a hadith that is of great importance to us as it relates to our religion, a hadith from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clarified in this hadith many affairs that are pertinent and that are relevant to us and our deen. One who contemplates and reflects on this particular hadith will understand the usul, will understand the fundamentals that this hadith contains, will understand the affairs that is related to sex and the different parties and groups, will understand through this hadith or from this hadith the alamat, the signs, and the characteristics of the evil scholars. And he will understand the position of the Muslim in relation to them, different paths that they call to, contrary to the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that the Muslim who understands and contemplates over this hadith will understand the time that the times of fitan, the times of trials and tribulations that is going to come on the people, and understand that the people are two types. When fitna strikes, when trial and tribulation strike the people, will either be the type of people who fall victim and succumb to fitna, or they will be the people who will be successful and safe from that fitna. The Muslim who understands and contemplates this hadith will understand the tariq al-haq, the correct path. And he will understand the scholars, those who are firmly grounded and rooted, call to that correct path. Understand hadith, the Muslim who contemplates over this hadith will understand those affairs that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death. He will understand how these affairs will take place and what is incumbent or obligatory upon him in the event that there is no jama'ah, there is no party, there is no group, and there is no imam. What is he supposed to do? His mawqif, his position. Imam Bukhari and Muslim, they mention this particular hadith, and this hadith is called Muttafiqun Alayh. It is in a hadith that is agreed upon, meaning that is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and it is also mentioned in other books. It is mentioned in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. It is also mentioned in the Sunan of Nasa'i. It is also mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Musnad of Imam al-Tayalisi, and also the Mustadrak of al-Hakim, and also mentioned in the Sunan al-Kubra li Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahumullahu jami'an. And this particular hadith was narrated on the authority of Hudayfa ibn Yaman. And Hudayfa ibn Yaman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was from those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who used to hold the secrets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to confide in them, tell them secrets that he would not tell anyone else. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also informed Hudayfa about who the munafiqun were. And he also informed him of many other affairs that he did not disclose to the rest of the ummah. Naam, falyatafaddal mashkuran ma'jura.
Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arda'ah min al-sahaba alladhina tamayyazu bihifzi wa riwayati al-ahadith al-muta'alliqa bil-fitan وما سيكون في آخر الزمان. بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حدثهم عما كان وما سيكون. وكان رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه امين سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويخبره الرسول عليه الصلاه والسلام عن المنافقين باسمائهم وعيادهم. هذا الصحابي الجليل سال الرسول عليه الصلاه والسلام ثم اخبر الناس بسؤاله وجواب الرسول عليه الصلاه والسلام، فقال كما تقدم في صحيح البخاري ومسلم، واللفظ الذي ساسوقه عند مسلم الصحيح، قال رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه: كان الناس يسالون رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وسلم عن الخير، وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. فقلت: يا رسول الله، إنا كنا في جاهلية وشر، فجاءنا الله بهذا الخير، فهل بعد هذا الخير شر؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: نعم. قلت: هل بعد ذلك الشر من خير؟ قال: نعم، وفيه دخن. قلت: وما دخنه؟ قال: قوم يستنون بغير سنتي ويهدون بغير هدي، تعرف منهم وتنكر. فقلت: هل بعد ذلك الخير من شر؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: نعم، دعاة على أبواب جهنم، من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها. فقلت: يا رسول الله، صفهم لنا. قال: نعم، قوم من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا. قلت: يا رسول الله، فما ترى إن أدركني ذلك؟ قال: تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم. فقلت: فإن لم تكن لهم جماعة ولا إمام؟ قال: فاعتزل تلك الفرق كلها، ولو أن تعض على أصل شجرة حتى يدركك الموت وأنت على ذلك. انتهى الحديث. ففي هذا الحديث بين حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه أن الناس، أي الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم وأرضاهم في وقت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن الناس كانوا يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الخير من أجل أن يعملوا به. ولكن حذيفة سأله عن الشر، والسبب الذي حمل حذيفة على السؤال عن ذلك هو الخوف من أن يدرك الزمن الذي فيه شر، فكيف النجاة منه؟ فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنا كنا في جاهلية وشر، يعني قبل البعثة، فجاءنا الله بهذا الخير، وهي بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونزول القرآن وقيام الدين. فسأله: هذا الخير الذي نحن فيه، هل سيكون بعده شر؟ فقال: نعم. قال: هل بعد هذا الشر خير؟ قال: نعم، وفيه دخن. والدخن هو أن القلوب لا تعود إلى ما كانت عليه في السابق، وهو الحقد وفساد القلب، وقيل بأنه كل أمر مكروه، وقيل بأن المراد بالدخن أن القلوب لا ترجع إلى ما كانت عليه، والمراد بهم أهل الأهواء والبدع من الخوارج ونحوهم. ثم سأله: هل بعد هذا الخير الذي فيه دخن، هل بعده شر؟ قال: نعم، دعاة على أبواب جهنم. من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها. ففي هذا الحديث قسم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الوقت أو الزمن القادم الذي بعد بعثته عليه الصلاة والسلام إلى أقسام، ودل كلام حذيفة مع كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أنه الناس الذين كانوا في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم من يأتي بعدهم يمر عليهم خمسة أزمان أو خمسة مراحل نبينها بعد قليل. نعم
نعم. So the Shaykh حفظ الله تعالى, he said that Hudhayfa was from amongst those companions who narrated many of the ahadith, those narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealing with trials and tribulations, fitan, and all of the ahadith that are connected or related to what is going to take place after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the last days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would inform Hudhayfa about what took place in the past and what is going to take place in the future. And he even informed Hudhayfa about the names of the munafiqun, the hypocrites in Al-Madinah, by name. And this sahabi, this noble companion Hudhayfa, he would take these narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he would relay them to the Muslims later on after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hudhayfa, he said in this noble hadith that the people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the good, and I used to ask him about evil, fearing that it would overtake me. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, we were in the pre-Islamic era, the era of Jahiliyyah before Islam, and we were astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us this good, meaning the Qur'an and the religion of al-Islam. So is there after this good any evil? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, will there be any good after that evil? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes, there will be good, but it will be tainted. So Hudhayfa said, and what is this taint? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be a people who will follow a path or practice other than my path, and they will seek guidance with other than my guidance. You will acknowledge some of their behaviors and others you will detest. Ta'rif minhum wa tunkir. That you, some things that they're going to do that you're going to be familiar with, and there are going to be other things that they're going to do that you're going to detest because it will be in opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hudhayfa, he said, will there be any evil after this good, after this tainted good? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, qawmun, that there will be a people who will be callers standing at the doors of the gates of the hellfire calling the people. And whoever responds to their call, then they will throw them in it. Du'at ala abwab jahannam. There will be callers, du'at, callers, at the gates of the hellfire. Whoever responds to their call, then they will toss them in it. So Hudhayfa said, O Messenger of Allah, sifhum lana. Describe them to us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there will be a people who will be from our ethnic group. They will speak our language. So Hudhayfa, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you order me to do if this time should reach me? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stick closely, ilzam al-jama'ah, jama'at al-muslimin, hold firmly to the group or the party of the Muslims and their imam. So Hudhayfa, he said, O Messenger of Allah, what if there is no jama'ah and there is no imam? What should I do in that case? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stay away from all of the different sects. Stay away from all of the different sects even if you have to bite onto the root of a tree and remain in that state until death overtakes you. This hadith is a tremendous hadith. It is inclusive of many, many usul, very fundamental aspects of the religion. And it shows from the beginning that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to ask him about khair, they used to ask him about the good. And this wasn't just to merely ask about it, but it was to act upon it. It was to implement it and exemplify it in their behavior and in their character and in their actions. So Hudhayfa, being as keen as he was, being as intelligent as he was, he used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I asked him about the evil that is to come, fearing that he would live during that time, fearing that he would live during that time and the evil will be present. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the evil that is to come in the future, fearing that he may live during that time. And so he said that we were in Jahiliya, in the pre-Islamic era, before Islam, before the emergence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and before the advent of al-Islam. And we were upon evil and a strength. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to us this good, meaning the Quran and the noble religion of al-Islam. So is there after this good any evil? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes. And then he asked him, is there any after this evil any good? He said yes, but it will be taken. It will be tainted, and he said, he used the word dakhin, da kha noon, wafihi dakhin. It will be tainted. And the Shaykh hafizallahu ta'ala, he said, the ulama, the people of hadith, the scholars who explain this hadith, they explain this word dakhin to mean that the hearts will change. The hearts will not be as they were in the past. Fasad al-qulub, that the hearts will become corrupt. And it will not return back to their pure state as it was during the time of that virtuous generation of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the scholars mean that there will come some good, but it will not be as it used to be when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. And some of the scholars say that what is intended by this is the emergence of the people of desires and the people of innovations. Although there will be Muslims, but they will not be calling to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to, and that which the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, called to. But these, the emergence of the people of desires and the people of innovation. So then he asked, will there be any evil after this good? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, there will be callers, du'at, callers at the gates of the hellfire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here in this hadith, he categorized the time that is to come after his death into different categories. And Hudhayfa, based upon this, categorized the people that will be living during those times into five different categories that we're going to explain now. Now, فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا.
تبين النبي فبين فتبين لنا من هذا الحديث أن الأحوال التي مرت لأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التي تمر بمن بعدهم بأنها خمسة أحوال. الحال الأولى الجاهلية والشر، والمراد بها ما كان قبل البعثة وقبل قيام الإسلام وظهوره. دل على هذا قول حذيفة في الحديث إنا كنا في جاهلية وشر، حيث كان الشرك هو الظاهر والجهل والتعاون على الإثم والعدوان. الواجب على المسلم إذا كان في مثل هذه الحالة أن يرجع إلى الفطرة السليمة التي فطره الله تعالى عليها، ويجتهد في معرفة الدين الحق والوصول إلى الحنيفية التي هي الإخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى، وهي دين إبراهيم، كما فعل سلمان الفارسي رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه، حيث كان على الدين المجوس وهي عبادة النار، فلما عرف أن هذا دين باطل ذهب يبحث عن الدين الحق، فالتحق ببعض النصارى وبدأ ينتقل من شخص إلى آخر من عباد النصارى، حتى دله أحدهم على أنه سيخرج نبي في مكان كذا وكذا، وأشار له بصفات تدل على المدينة، فذهب إلى المدينة، ولما بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أتى إليه وأسلم، فكان يبحث عن الحق مع أنه في الجاهلية. ومن ذلك أيضا ما فعله عمر بن نفيل وهو في قريش، كان لا يوافق أهل قريش ولا غيرهم من العرب على الشرك، كان يرى أن هذا باطل، ويرى أن غير المشركين ممن عندهم أديان أخرى أنهم أدخلوا الشرك على دينهم، فيعبدون المخلوقين مع الله سبحانه وتعالى، حتى عرف الحنيفية السمحة وهي دين إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام، والتي دعا إليها موسى وعيسى، ثم مات عمرو بن نفيل وهو على الحنيفية قبل أن تظهر دعوة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وتشتهر. فالفطرة السليمة في هذه المرحلة هو البحث عن الحق عن طريق العقل الصحيح، فإن الفطرة السليمة والعقل الصحيح ينكران ما عليه أهل الجاهلية ويرفضانه، وينكران كل ما خالف الحق، ويدفعان بالإنسان إلى البحث عن الحق حتى يصل إلى الحنيفية السمحة. فهذه هي المرحلة الأولى التي أشار إليها الحديث. المرحلة الثانية أو الحالة الثانية هي الخير الخالص أو الخير الغالب المحض الذي جاء الله تعالى به ببعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وهو ظهور الإسلام وإعلان التوحيد ومجانبة الشرك وإيجاب شريعة الإسلام بأركانها وواجباتها وسننها وأخلاقها وآدابها. فالإسلام جاء الله عز وجل به بإنزال كتابه وبعثة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، والواجب على الإنسان في هذه الحال أن يؤمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بعد إيمانه بالله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن يوحد الله عز وجل بالعبادة، ويتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وحينئذ يلزم عليه أربعة أمور، أو يلزمه أربعة أمور. الأمر الأول تعلم العلم، تعلم الحق، معرفة الحق الواجب عليه الذي لا يصح الدين إلا به. الأمر الثاني العمل بهذا العلم. الأمر الثالث الدعوة إلى ما تعلمه، تعليم الناس ذلك ونشره بين الناس. والأمر الرابع الصبر على ذلك، أن يصبر على ما يواجهه في هذا السبيل من كثرة الانشغال ومن قلة المال وما قد يصاب به من مضايقات نحو ذلك. المرحلة الحالة الثالثة التي بينها الحديث هي الشر الذي يكون بعد الخير الذي جاء الله عز وجل به، فيكون هناك شر يظهر بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، بعد الخير الذي أتى به النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. قد دل على ذلك قول حذيفة رضي الله عنه: فهل بعد هذا الخير شر؟ فيقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم، وجاء في رواية أن حذيفة قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أرأيت هذا الخير الذي أعطانا الله أيكون بعده شر كما كان قبله، يعني كما كان في أمر الجاهلية؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم. قلت: فما العصمة من ذلك؟ قال: السيف. وهنا فيه إشارة إلى أن سيكون ممن دخلوا في الإسلام من يعودون إلى الجاهلية، وهنا إشارة إلى ما حصل في زمن أبي بكر بعد وفاة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام من الردة. والحل والعصمة من ذلك هو الوقوف مع إمام المسلمين وجماعة المسلمين. إمام المسلمين هو أبو بكر في ذلك الوقت، وجماعة المسلمين هم الصحابة، فالوقوف معهم ومناصرتهم وأن يناصروا الإمام وأن يردوا المرتدين إلى الإسلام. ولذلك قال قتادة رحمه الله: المراد بهذه الطائفة هم الذين ارتدوا بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في زمن خلافة الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. والموقف الشرعي في هذه الحال، وهي الشر الذي يكون بعد الخير الذي جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، إذا كان الإنسان في هذا الموقف أن يعرف ما كان عليه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وأصحابه وأصحابه، وأن يتمسك بهذا الدين الحق ويجتنب هذا الشر ويحذر منه ويحتاط ولا يقترب منه، كما فعل أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما ظهر هذا الشر، إنهم ردوه وبينوا بطلانه ووقفوا ضده. الحال الرابعة التي بينها الحديث إن هناك خير سيكون بعد هذا الشر، لكن هذا الخير ليس خيرا محضا كالخير الذي كان في زمن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي جاء الله عز وجل به في بعثة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، لكنه خير فيه دخل، حيث قال حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه: هل بعد هذا الشر من خير؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعم، وفيه دخل. قال حذيفة: وما دخنه؟ قال: قوم يستنون بغير سنتي ويهدون بغير هدي تعرف منهم وتنكر. فإذا في هذه المرحلة هي مرحلة خير، لكنه ليس بالخير الخالص وليس بالخير المحض، إنما هو خير ظاهر وغالب لكن فيه دخن، وهذا الدخن هو أن هناك قوم يستنون بغير سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ويهدون بغير هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تعرف منهم وتنكر، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: تعرف منهم وتنكر، تعرف السنة والهدي النبوي وتنكر السنة والهدي غير النبوي. فهؤلاء يأتون بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويخلطون معها غيرها، يأتون بهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويخلطون معه غيره، يأتون بدين الإسلام ويخلطون معه غيره. فالعالم يعرف الحق وينكر الباطل، لكن غير العالم إذا لم يحذر من هؤلاء فإنه سيوافقهم وسيقول: هم على حق، عندهم حق، هم دعاة إلى الخير، عندهم خير، يأمرون بالمعروف، يدعون الناس إلى الخير. فهو ينظر إلى ما عندهم من سنة وهدي نبوي، ولا ينظر إلى ما عندهم من سنة وهدي غير نبوي، فينظر إلى المعروف ولا ينظر إلى المنكر، ويظن أن المنكر معروف فتختلط عليه الأمور، فهو خير فيه دخل. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما سأل حذيفة: ما دخنه؟ قال: قوم يستنون بغير سنتي ويهدون بغير هدي تعرف منهم وتنكر. فالموقف هنا أن المسلم يقوم بالخير ويتعلمه ويعرف ما هو الدخن ويحذر منه، وإذا كان لا يعرف ف فعليه أن يلتزم بالعلماء الراسخين العلماء الربانيين من أئمة أهل السنة. وفي كل زمن يكون فيه أهل السنة وأهل الحق، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى تقوم الساعة. الحالة الخامسة التي بيّنها الحديث: شر ظاهر يكون بعد هذا الخير الذي فيه دخل، أو شر عظيم خطير للغاية، لأن فيه دعاة لجهنم، أو فيه فتنة عمياء صماء دل عليها قوله قول حذيفة رضي الله عنه: هل بعد ذلك الخير من شر؟ قال: نعم، دعاة على أبواب جهنم من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها. وطلب رضي الله تعالى عنه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بيان أوصاف هؤلاء الدعاة إلى جهنم، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قوم من جلدتنا، يعني من جنسنا، ويتكلمون بألسنتنا، فالبلاد التي يلبسون فيها مثلا ملابس معينة تجدهم يلبسون نفس الملابس، لهم لغة معينة يتكلمون بهذه اللغة المعينة، البلاد الأخرى التي يلبسون ملابس أخرى يلبسون مثلهم، ويتكلمون بلغة أخرى يتكلمون مثلهم، فهم مثلهم من بني جلدتهم ويتكلمون بألسنتهم بحسب مكانهم. هؤلاء الدعاة الذين من أجابهم قذفوه في النار، ظاهرهم أنهم يدعون إلى الخير، يدعون إلى الغيرة، يدعون إلى النصرة وهكذا، لكن في حقيقة الأمر أنهم يتنقلون بالإنسان حتى يوصلوه إلى النار. والمسلم إنما دخل في الإسلام حتى ينجو من جهنم، وهؤلاء يأخذونه إلى جهنم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: دعاة على أبواب جهنم من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها. وطلب حذيفة رضي الله عنه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذه الحال اللي هي الحال الخامسة أن يوصيه ويبين له ما ينجو به من هذا الشر العظيم، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم، ليس هناك نجاة من هذه الفتنة إلا بلزوم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم، فإن لم يكن لهم جماعة ولا إمام، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تعتزل فاعتزل تلك الفرق كلها ولو أن تعض على أصل شجرة حتى يدركك الموت وأنت على ذلك. نعم.
So the Sheikh حبيب الله تعالى continue by saying in this hadith Hudhayfa clarified, or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم clarified, that the time will go through five stages, or that time is five stages, from the time that he was sent as a prophet and messenger until even after his death, until the ending of time. That time are five different, categorized into five different categories. The first station, which is the station that has already passed, is the time of Jahiliyyah wa Shar, the time of the pre-Islamic era, where it was nothing but complete evil. And this was before the advent of al-Islam and before the emergence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the da'wah of al-Islam. And this was based upon the statement of Hudhayfa when he said, "Inna kunna fil jahiliyyati wa sharr," that we were in the pre-Islamic era and we were in complete ignorance and evil. And this is because during that time there was shirk, there was nothing but polytheism, there was working with one another upon evil and sin. And the Muslim, if he finds himself living in this time, then he should return back to his fitrah, his natural state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him in. The natural fitrah, the innate nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created every human being with. And this is the complete and sound religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Just as it was the case with Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was upon the deen of the Majus, the fire worshippers. And when he realized that this was a religion that was incorrect, he left that religion and went in search of the true religion. So then he found himself afterwards with the Jews and the Christians. And then when he realized that that was not the correct religion, he went to some of the Arabs. And there they informed him that there was a prophet who had emerged, and they alluded to the fact that he was in Al-Madinah. And so Salman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went out in search of this true religion until he met up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw that Islam was the true religion and accepted it, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was all due to his fitrah, all due to his natural state, the natural state, the innate nature that every human being has to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him to go out and search for that truth. So the individual, if he finds himself in complete ignorance and complete state of evil, then he returns back to his fitrah. He uses that natural state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him in to go out and search for the truth. As it was the case also of Amr ibn Nufayl, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from Quraysh. And although he was from Quraysh, he did not agree with the shirk and the polytheistic practices of the people of Quraysh. Just as many of the other mushrikeen and what they were upon from other than shirk. Until he came across this Hanafiya at Samha, this true, sound, puristic religion of Al-Islam, the same religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and when he heard about it, he knew automatically that it was the truth. He knew automatically that it was the same religion of Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And then when the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became apparent, he returned back to his fitrah, a salima, his sound fitrah, in search for the truth, leaving the religion of his forefathers and following the truth of the da'wah of al-Islam. So when an individual finds himself in this state where there is nothing but complete evil, absolute evil and ignorance, then he uses his fitrah to guide him. He follows that fitrah, that natural state, or that natural desire to want to be upon what is correct. He follows this in order to lead himself in search, uses this to assist him in his search for the truth. The second station that the time is categorized into five different stations. The second station is where there is complete and absolute khair, good. And this was, of course, after the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the emergence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the advent of al-Islam. Now when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and his da'wah became apparent to the people that this was complete and absolute khair, the religion was pure. It was pure. There was no taint. There was no tarnish. There was nothing to tarnish the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Revelation was still being revealed. And this was complete and absolute and emphatic khair, good. There was tawheed. There was the issues of the pre-Islamic period, like shirk and worshipping idols and everything else, had become diminished, had started to diminish and go away. And tawheed became apparent. The religion of al-Islam was pure, and this was pure good. The etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had become apparent. The characteristics and behaviors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the etiquettes of the Muslims have become apparent. The ahkam, the legislations of the religion of al-Islam have become apparent. All of it was khair, it was pure, there was no taint or tarnish in it. And when an individual finds himself in this time, then it is upon the individual to stick closely to, first and foremost, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and stick closely to that pure, unadulterated haq that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. And when he finds himself in this time, and that the haq is very pure, unadulterated, then four things become incumbent and obligatory upon him. Number one, and that is to learn the haq that is wajib upon him, to learn the truth, to learn this knowledge, which is an obligation upon him. And number two, to act upon that knowledge. Number three, to give da'wah, to call to that knowledge, wa ta'leem al-nas, and to educate the people to that knowledge. And number four, to be patient in the harms that he receives in the course of giving da'wah. And that is as it relates to the people not wanting to really, or the people becoming preoccupied with other things, to be diligent, or some difficulties and some restraints or restrictions have been put on him, that he is patient in calling to that haq. The third station that time is categorized into is where there is evil, that there is complete evil after this good. There's after this good, there's complete evil or absolute evil. And this is the evil that comes after the advent of al-Islam and the emergence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As it was mentioned in another narration where Hudhayfa, he said, don't you see this khair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? So what is the evil that is going to come after this good? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's safe that the swords will be lifted, meaning it will be bloodshed. That Islam will return back to strange, to being strange and alien, just as it started off initially. And that the people will begin to spill blood, and the blood of the Muslim will become worthless, and there will be all types of trials and tribulations. And in this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluding to the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a time where many of the people had apostated from the religion of al-Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Islamic legislative position that one should take during this time is to know that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon, and stick closely to that and refrain and stay away from and avoid the evil that has come after that good. The fourth station that you're going to find, that we find that is mentioned in this hadith, is the khair, that good that comes after this evil. Is the good that comes after this evil. But this good is not like the first type of good. The first type of good was absolute. It was emphatic. It was unadulterated. It was pure. But this good, although it is khair, it is not as pure as the first type of good. And this is derived from the statement of Hudhayfa, where he said, "Hal min ba'da hadha shar min khair?" Is there any good after this evil? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, there will be good after this evil, but it will be tainted. Bihi dakhin. It will be tainted." And Hudhayfa wanted further clarification, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that there will be a people who will be seeking to practice a sunnah other than the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they will seek guidance with other than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So although it will be good, but it will not be like the good previously, where it was just absolute, unadulterated khair, good from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That you will find from these people, that these individuals, they will have some practices of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرْ, that some things you will acknowledge, you will recognize, because that will be the type of good that they will be practicing from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then they will institute or add other practices and habits that are not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with that. And this is very, very dangerous. Why? Because you will find that people who are not able to distinguish truth from falsehood, they will only be able to see the good that they are practicing. So that you will find that these individuals, these people of desires, these people of innovation, you will find that they will practice aspects of the sunnah. And the person that is not able to distinguish the sunnah from that which is not the sunnah will only be able to recognize the sunnah. So they will say, no, these people are good. They have good with them. These people are upon the sunnah. And that is only because they are only able to acknowledge or recognize the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they are practicing. But they are oblivious to the other practices and habits which they have added or instituted along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. So this is why he said, تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرْ, that you will acknowledge some of the things that they are doing, meaning those practices which are directly related to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَتُنْكِرْ, and you will despise or you will detest some of the things that they are doing, and that is the sunnah that they are practicing, which is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this time is an individual living during this time has to be very cautious. Very cautious. Because if you do not know the sunnah and are not able to distinguish the truth from falsehood, you will only recognize what they are practicing from the sunnah, and the other practices and habits which they add to that, you will not be able to recognize. And you will begin to defend them. You will begin to say that these people are upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people are upon khair, upon good. And that is only because you only recognize the sunnah, but you don't recognize the other practices and habits which are innovative, which they have instituted. You cannot recognize them. So the position of the Muslim during this time is to know this dakhin, to know this taint, to know this taint that exists during this particular time, and stick closely. If he doesn't understand the taint, he's not able to distinguish the truth from falsehood during this time, then he has to stick closely to the scholars. Stick closely to the scholars, الراسخين في العلم, those who are firmly grounded, those whose feet are firmly rooted in sound legislative knowledge. If he is not able to distinguish on his own, then he is to stick closely to the scholars. The scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who are present and exist during every time frame up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, that there will never cease to remain a group of people from my ummah who are open and apparent upon the truth. None can harm them who forsake them or go against them, and they will remain like that until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Ahlus Sunnah wal Hadith, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the ulama from amongst them are present during every era, and they will be present up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it is upon the individual who does not understand and cannot distinguish the truth from falsehood during this particular time frame, then it is upon him to hold fastly to the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah who are present during every time and in every era. The fifth station that is going to pass, this ummah is going to pass through, is the evil that will exist after this tainted good. The evil that is going to exist after this tainted good. And this evil is tremendous. It is serious evil. And that is because there exists during this particular time du'at, callers. But these callers are not like the callers previously. These callers are calling to the hellfire. And this was extracted or derived from the statement, هل من بعد هذا الخير من شر? Is there any evil after this good? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. Du'atun ala abwab jahannam. There will be callers at the gates of the hellfire. Whoever responds to their call, then they will toss them in it. So this shows us that this final time period, it will be very, very evil. And it's upon the individual to be very cautious living during this time. And Hudhayfa, he wanted further clarification, so he asked, Sifhum lana, describe them to us, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are from our ethnic group. And he said, what this means is, and they speak our language, what this means is that these people, the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation, the people of ahlul ahwa, the people of desires, no matter where they go, they always speak in the language of the people where they're at. They dress like the people where they're at. So as to not be easily identified, subhanAllah, so that they will not be easily identified. So they say what the people say, and they wear what the people wear, and they act as the people act, so they will not be identified. And this is very dangerous. And they do all of this so that they can take an individual and throw him into hellfire. He said, subhanAllah, an individual accepts Islam to save himself from the hellfire, while these individuals take you and throw you in the hellfire. Throw you in the hellfire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified to us how to escape this fitna when we live in, if an individual finds himself living during this time frame. And that is to stick closely to the jama'ah and their imam. To hold firmly to the jama'ah and their imam. And if an individual happens to live during this time and there's no jama'ah, there's no group or party of the Muslims who are stick together under one congregation, under one imam. If there's no jama'ah and there's no imam, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the remedy to deal with that, even that situation where he said, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرْقَ كُلَّهَا. Stay away from all of those different sects. Stay away from all of those different sects. نعم فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا.